talked about the fact that you had a car, but what were the roads like? You probably needed the four-wheel drive, did you?
No, we didn't really, because the place is flat and everything, but they were... River Road was quite a good road. After it was tarred, it was... before we built our house, it was a proper tarred road. It only went so far, but... and Penrith roads were not very good all around, but the main road was all right. You know, there were potholes. There was a tremendous amount of work done on roads, and we've had fairly good councils, really, all along.
I noticed a ferry or a paddle steamer.
Paddle steamer, yeah, that's a recent development.
It's not
on
an
the
old
river.
One.
Oh, no, no. It's been here about 10 years, I think. It was built by a person who lived in Emu Plains and put on the river for excursions. It's a lovely river. It's
beautiful.
Wonderful to go. Oh, I know what we did also for... but this is getting a bit later when my children were a bit older. Oh, 10. Son was 10. We used to ski on the river. We had a ski boat. Mm-hmm. And there were no ramps or things in those days to put your boat in. You got it in the best way you could. And we used to start out early in the morning and go right up the river so we could get our own little beach, because a lot of people started to come and ski, people from Sydney and everywhere.
When would this have been in the...
Well, Doug was 10 and he's 39 now.
Right, so it'd be
25
years.
Yes, yes. That's right, yes. That was interesting. But the river in those days, now they have beautiful ramps to put their boats on and ski club and everything, but they didn't in our time.
Was this bridge here?
Oh, yes.
For a long time.
Mm. Yes.
It's been updated, I suppose.
No, it hasn't. That's just how it was. Okay. It's an ugly bridge, isn't it? It's... you can't see the river from it, but I believe there's all sorts of stories, and I don't know what's true, that it was brought out from England because it was left over, it wasn't needed or something, and it was bought and put here.
So that was there in the 40s?
Yes, just exactly as it is, yes. They've done up the railway bridge since then, I believe. And the railway runs along beside it, you know.
Oh.
Mm. But it's all closed in, and they wanted to open it up so you could... see through as you went over the bridge, you know, but that depends on that for its strength, apparently.
Yes. Mm. And what about the introduction of newcomers to the area after the war, like the displaced people who came from Europe? Was that noticeable to you in this area?
Oh, yes, very much so, yes.
And how did that affect your life? Did you make friends with these people?
Yes, I did. Actually, we had some very good friends, Yugoslavs, that actually she worked for me, but she was a great friend too. And we used to have boat race parties and things. She always came to help me. And they invited us to all their organisations. And they had a lot of family. The whole family went when they had, like, celebrated... Anzac Day.
Did they?
Yes. And that the whole family would be where. If they went to a wedding, we went to all their weddings, we went to the opening of their church. And it was all the family was involved, and it was wonderful how they all went together to everything they did in a family sort of way that wasn't quite like Australians.
And they included you as well.
Oh, yes, and they included us. I can remember going to one of their the opening of the church, the Serbian Orthodox, I think it was, church, at Fairfield. That's where they went to church. And
all the way from here to Fairfield?
Yes, yes. That's where they built their big church.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember going into the church, and you stood all the time, and... it got very hot, and incense was terrible. I thought I have to get out for a little while. So I went outside and they served a chicken sandwich while you were outside there. And people were coming and going all the time, but I didn't know that. And the service went on and on and on. And in the end, after we'd sat down to lunch with all the people, they had lunch, and we'd eaten lunch, the minister from America was there, the priest, who was head of the church there, and he came out visiting for the opening, and he said he wanted Mr. and Mrs. Watson to come into the, you know, with the VIPs, and we sat down to another lunch, and asked Doug to speak. You know, he didn't know what to speak about. It's all I've got the spur of the moment, but he said something. And it was as if they made friends. We were the only people there. There were a lot of people that they invited that they became friendly with, and they were very sociable sort of people, especially the Yugoslavs, I think. Yeah.
What other nationalities were there that you remember?
I can't remember. It was only because I was associated so much with all the Yugoslavs. Mm. Isn't that awful? I can't remember.
You visited their homes.
And yes. Mm. And they had young children that grew up with mine. And that's how I remember all the Yugoslavs, because it was always with that you met them all independent, but there must have been others. Dutch, yes. We had several Dutch friends because they went to the Presbyterian Church. Mm. That's right. I'm not a very good person to interview because I forget.
And this little gallery down the road, when was that established?
That's 10 years ago.
Oh, so it's recent.
Yes.
But the lady who
lived Margot, there, and she came in about, Margot and Gerald Lewis came in they owned the house when we came, but they were living in Sydney and used that as a weekender.
Oh.
And they came in about 48, I think. And Jerry was killed quite young from a horse. He was a wonderful sculptor. And Gerald Lewis, and Margot died, about 10 years ago, 10 or 11 years ago.
And she was a well-known artist in the area too?
Oh, well, she was well-known everywhere. Mm. Yes, Margot Lewis, she sold a lot to Americans, for one thing. She was, and she originally had a shop in Rose Street. She worked in many medias. She had pottery and she worked in plastic and of course oils and beautiful fibre. We know she did wonderful wall hangings and the material, and it was a very wide range of things she did. It was an old house, and it's and of course, as I told you, it was taken over by the council after a lot of bother to get them to take it over. And she had built Anchor House, which is called Anchor House because of the architect was Anchor, well-known architect. And it's in a very big block of land, a lovely rambling garden. And when the council took it over, they built a regional gallery across the back. So it's really three galleries in a garden. And it all fits in very well. And the two girls, her two daughters, Tanya and Durrani, are still on the management committee. And they have... it's a lovely gallery, and it's lovely to work with. You know, you're always working for something that's... you know, the people are poor or there's always that... Working for a gallery is... something more pleasurable,
more,
you know.
Uplifting.
Yes.
And you work for the gallery.
Well, I run the. I'm in charge of catering and the tea rooms there. Mm.
And it's open to the public.
Oh yes. It's a It's a regional gallery that's open one Monday closed, so 6 days a week. And
did you teach classes, art classes in the area too, back in the earlier days? No.
She was too busy painting, I think. Mm-hmm. She used to advise other artists, and it was a meeting place for artists way back in those days. A meeting place for, you know, they got together and talked about art, and she helped a lot of budding artists in their time. And of course now they have started, which is interesting. I was telling you that they've been Alistair Brass was an artist and doctor and editor and a very clever young man who died very young. And he apparently was a friend of the Lewis. And his father started this foundation, which has been under the auspices of our gallery, to study and document art from her period of her painting, which is the 40s to the 80s, I think it is, they're doing it. Or, yes, 40 to 80. It's never been documented before. Mm. So we're trying to raise money to do that at the moment.
And you'll have an exhibition along with them?
Yeah, well, actually, the exhibition's on at the moment, and we've had a big dinner, the Alistair Brass dinner, to raise money, and that exhibition is on now. But we have changing exhibitions all the time. Mm-hmm.
Mm. And did she paint the local area?
In the 50s? She was a contemporary artist, you know, with the... Were you impressionist? There's no traditional sort of painting that she did. He did beautiful sculptures with wood that he found on the riverbank, and his sculptures are really beautiful with flights of birds, and for the scouts he did a staff which had an emu on it.
Lovely.
Bent down, beautiful. And he didn't only work in wood, but his wood really came from this area. Mm.
So you had a Scouts Club?
Oh yes, my children both belong to...
Did they?
Yes. Mm. Cubs and Brownies, Girl Guides. Mm. Mm. Yeah, there were all those organisations going in the area, but I think they always did, and country towns have everything, didn't they? We started... a music club, Alan Mullins, but that's only in the last, I think it's been probably going about 20 years. And Dr. Mullins had a very beautiful tenor voice and was very strong in the Leaders Society. And he started a music club, and we had very nice concerts, which were often held in the Lewis Gallery because they raised enough money for a piano. So... In the last 10 years, they've been going to the gallery, but that led to the building of the Performing Arts Centre. Oh. The music club were behind that all the long line. And Dr. Mullins died of a heart attack very young, and but they have got one of the rooms called Mullins. And, but it's the Joan Sutherland Performing Arts Centre, which is really wonderful for this area. The acoustics are superb. The ABC's recording in it, and so that went from a very small music club, and long time ago, who used to meet in the Memorial Hall in St Mary's, right to present day with this Joan Sutherland. And that's the only building that has her name, you know.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah. Yes, and Joan Sutherland actually sang and opened the Performing Arts Centre. She, it was just before she retired. That was the opening. Mm.
Well, and what about the? I think we've covered almost everything. What about the pet animals? Did you keep pet animals?
Yes, of course. We always had a dog. Yeah. Yes.
And you didn't keep cows for milk or anything like that?
Oh no.
So
we were really came at the period when everything was just starting to develop. You know, it was getting filled with people from outside Penrith. You know, most of the people here when we came in 46 had been born here and their mothers before them, or and this was the first, we were the first influx, and from then on it was people coming from other places that came into the district, naturally, to build up that high population. And they came in their hordes, you see, it went from, in that time, to 165,000. It's an awful lot of people. It was developing very quickly from 46 on.
And did you, were you aware of it at the time? Did you have this feeling of approaching suburbanisation?
Oh, yes. It was happening all around you. It was happening, another subdivision had been opened up in Penrith, and what you used to call country was now covered in houses. Yes, you could feel it happening. It was very quick, you know, happening. Shops being rebuilt and shops coming down, and the roads were getting done very quickly in those days, and curbs and guttering, and because it had been such a little place before.
And lots of car parks and taking demolished buildings.
Yes. Well, no, not really. And you see, Penrith was a railway town with a lot of weatherboard houses, and it was there were no lovely homes in Penrith itself. There were outside, like Glenmore and Glenlee, and all those were lovely places. And Fernlee and all out there, those were lovely places. But there were little cottages that were all tumbled down, and they were coming down, you see. And you could feel it happening all the time. You can still feel it happening. You know, it's growing so tremendous. And there were green belts everywhere. Well, mistakenly, they've built on a lot of those. They've been released, you know, which is a shame, which makes it houses from Sydney right to here, that ribbon development, instead of having space. Mm.
That lack of space.
Yes.
Something you feel strongly.
Mm. And we had such a lot of traffic on the road. No one drove along River Road once upon a time, and now it's like Pitt Street. Mm. Yeah.
And do you think that's a good thing? Would you say it's progress?
Yes, it is process, and it's inevitable. It has to be, I suppose. But I think they'll have to stop soon. You know, there's this trouble with the river and the pollution, and it can't take any more, really.
Do people still swim in the river? Or is it too polluted?
No, they don't. They've got a swimming pool, of course, in Penrith now. But there's people that dive in there. But you wouldn't go for knowing what it's like, you don't go there. See, all the holidays I used to hurry up and do my housework, and I don't know how I did it. I had it all finished and done by 12 o'clock, and we'd go down for lunch on the riverbank for a picnic and the school holidays, and stay in the water. My neighbour and I would be in the water the whole afternoon, you know, with the children. Yeah.
You wouldn't do that now.
No, certainly not.
Even
if I were young and could do it, I wouldn't.
And I suppose the changing landscape is the most noticeable change.
Yes.
Mm. How would you describe it then, just in your mind's eye?
It was lovely. I used to look out my kitchen window in the morning and look straight up the mountains and see the little steam train, and you could see it. The steam going over the old bridge, and I used to follow it right up the mountains in the mornings, yes, while I was washing up, and of course it was all green orchard, and you looked over the trees up the mountains. And now I'm blocked out because I've grown trees all round to block out the view of houses, you know. But then there's no steam train going up there. Or electrified. Used to see steam going up through the trees.
And looking back and reflecting on your life during the 40s to the 60s, how do you feel that the rapid growth has affected you personally? for the better or the worse, or for worse?
Well, it's not for better. I love that quiet way of living. It was a country town, and you know, country towns are nice and slow and nice to live in, and now it's just a hustle and a bustle of the city. You dread driving into Penrith to do your shopping. So you go to the little market that's up here in Emu Plain, you know. But you have to go into banks and things, but you don't like that. And there's nowhere to park, and you get on a queue to get across out again, and you know, the cars are bumper to bumper. It's not well planned, Penrith. Especially since they've built the mall, and you've got to go around each way, and to do your shopping, you have to go to one end of the place to the other. The plazas down here, and the MBF's way up there, and in Kmart, it's such a big spread out area. And also, it was a nice, friendly place. Now it's just like a place with a lot of people in it. You don't know many people. You couldn't walk up High Street. It'd take you all day because you'd meet someone that you knew all the time. You know, It just hasn't got that nice, slow pace. Mm.
Well, thank you very much. I think we've covered everything now. So thank you very much.
It's been my pleasure. I wish I could have been remembered better. What are those? I just remembered the Women's Guild.
That's it.
I really am getting Alzheimer's disease, aren't I? Will they? They do exactly as they do today. They had fetes and to raise money, and of course, in the early days then, our church was very old, and it was pulled down. We sold the land to a oil company because we owned the land behind it, and which provided us with enough money to build a new church, and my husband was very involved in that and building the church, and there were a very keen lot of men in those days working in the church, and it was a very nice atmosphere, and my husband really wanted to be an architect in the early days, but they were selling bootlaces on street corners in those days, weren't they? And so when he was going to the university, and so he did law, but he was always very keen on architecture, so building the church was a wonderful thing for him. And also he was very involved when the old Masonic temple came down in actually Penrith area, and they built out in Orchard Hills, just out of Penrith. And that new building, he was involved with that for a long while, which was right up his alley. Mm. Mm.
Good. Well, thank you once again. I didn't ask you about the industry in the area. Was there very much industry in the 50s in Penrith?
Well, not in Penrith, actually. The St Mary's was the industrial area. And it has grown tremendously in Penrith. I think the Nepean Milk Co-op was the only really big thing. But, of course, now it's tremendous areas, the three areas in Penrith, Longcastle Road and Cox Avenue and York Road. I can't remember the names of all the big...
And there wasn't anything very much there. Were there some factories in the area?
I can't remember. No, only St Mary's were clothing manufacturers, and I think they had kept it to that area, and of course there was the munitions factory there too, yes. Which is just moving out now, isn't it? I've heard that.
Yes. Mm. Yeah.
No, Penrith didn't have very much at all. There was a brickworks. Yes, I can't remember any.